Heavenly Father, we desperately need ears to hear. Lord, we can read the Bible, but sometimes it just doesn't speak to us. And I pray, Father, that as with the prophet, you would wakeneth our ears, that we would hear. Lord, that we would grow into Christ's likeness, that we would grow in grace and wisdom, and that we would bring you honor and glory with our lives. I pray, Father, that we would, that the Holy Spirit of God, through the Word of God, Lord, would convince and convict us. And Lord, if we've become satisfied, if we become dull of hearing, I pray, Father, that you would speak to us plainly, that we don't understand it all yet, and we need to grow in grace and wisdom and more like Christ. So do a work in our hearts today, for it's in Christ's name I pray it, and for his glory's sake. Amen. So when I read this portion of Scripture, it said, the disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And what would you say was the attitude of the disciples? You can respond to me. This isn't a test question, like you're not going to get scored. It's okay. We're going to communicate just a little bit here. What was the disciples' attitude?
They had ears to hear.
They wanted to hear. They wanted to hear. They had a desire to be taught. They still had that wanting and desiring to know more about all of this Christianity and all that Christ needed to teach them. In Psalms 119, I'm not going to repeat it over and over and over again because it'll become redundant to you and to me probably looking it all up. But in Psalms 119, verse 12, 26, 33, 64, 66, 68, 108, 124, and 135, the psalmist continues to say, teach me. Every time in each one of those verses, it's teach me. And so you know the attitude is you don't ask somebody to teach you unless you're just doing it for show, you know, to act as if you're really willing. But you need to have a heart that is willing that God and the Lord and through the Word of God and through preaching and all the ways that we are taught through the Scripture, that you have a willing heart. And if you don't have a willing heart, then what it is that you're going to become dull of hearing. The Lord is speaking, but you're not hearing. And you need to have ears to hear, whether you've been in the Lord 30 years or 40 years. Listen, many people that have been in the Lord 30 and 40 years, I'm just approaching my 40th year in the Lord, and that we can be so satisfied with where we are that we back off a little bit, that we let other people do it, that we stop going out witnessing, that we do this. We can find all the excuses in the world not to be obedient to the word. We can use our age as an excuse. And really, it's not an excuse to the Lord. You did notice that some of the people that served the Lord were aged. And I want to encourage you to have that heart that you still want to be taught from the Lord no matter where you are in your Christian walk. Some people, it would be with their education. You know, they went to Bible college, and that's great that you go to Bible college. But then you've got to be learning continually, letting the Lord show you more and more and more about what you understand, and you know that what is right, and you do that. And your prayer needs to be that you that the Lord would quicken, open up your understanding. Let me have ears to hear, like the apostles, like the disciples here. And is that your prayer? Do you want to know more and grow more like Christ, or have you become satisfied in your current state? We all would say, and we would say this, that we're not like Christ yet, that we haven't attained. And matter of fact, that goal, being transformed into the image of his dear Son, is our long-term goal to be there. And we need to understand that we're not even close to that. And we need to desire, and we need to pray that God would give us ears to hear. Sometimes it's lust, sometimes it's a work. Sometimes, like I said, there's so many things that can make us dull of hearing, but we need to have this attitude, and your attitude will show something. And so I ask you, Is it part of your prayer life that you're asking God to teach you? I use the term here, to wakeneth mine ears, right? That get them out of that state of in a perpetual sleep, that I would start to hear what is being said. Is that part of your prayer life? Do you want to grow more like Christ? Or is some of it a little bit fearful to you? Some people, it's fear that keeps them from growing. They're afraid that Lord might say to go to some Muslim country or something, you know? And really, he might send some of you to a Muslim country, but I can tell you it won't be most of you. Most of you are going to serve right in this community, and he has a great work for you to do here. But it also shows something when you're praying this. And I don't mean that you're saying it just to utter words. I mean that your heart's desire is to grow into Christ's likeness. And you need to have, and you have an attitude that you want to hear. It shows a humbleness. And what you're saying in 1 Peter 5:5, oh, I jumped right over Peter here somehow. 1 Peter 5:5. It says here, likewise, you younger, so we'll get into the context of this. Submit yourself unto the elders. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, be clothed with humility. And then there's this statement, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Now, how many of you know that portion of Scripture? You've heard it before. Absolutely. And it shows that you have a need. When you come to God and you come to the Lord and you're asking him to quicken and open your ears to teach you through the Scriptures, it's showing you that you're saying, I need this help. I need this. I know I haven't attained. I know I'm still struggling in certain areas. And I need the Word of God to have power in my life. And it shows a humbleness of spirit, because he gives grace unto the humble, and he resisteth the proud. No prayer, not asking to grow in Christ's likeness, is a very, very prideful statement or non-statement. Have we all attained? No, we have not. Are we all satisfied? Maybe so. But we need to be humble in this area. And so even after this very close to 40 years, I've come to realize just more and more how, yes, I know the Scriptures, and yes, I've studied through this, but the application of the Scriptures, not just knowing them in that I can quote or I can spout a doctrine, but the application of that Scripture to a lost and dying world, to the saints, and how to apply that properly as Christ did, is a learning curve that'll have never ending, because we're going to grow like Christ, but we're never going to become Christ on this earth. And so he had it all right. So you're showing a humbleness of spirit, and it's you're saying, I need help. So will you pray for it? It also shows faith. So all of these biggies that this shows when you're asking this in prayer are the basics of God's blessing in your life. It shows faith in his word. And Hebrews 11:6, you know the verse, but we're going to read it so that, see, it's good to hear the word of God. Okay, that's a great thing, to hear the word of God. It is better, it's good to read it. And then, of course, it's even better to do it, but we'll get into that in just a little bit. So it shows that you have faith in God. And it says, but without faith, it is almost possible to please him. Is that what your Bible says? No, it says that without faith it is impossible to please him. Why is that? For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that how diligently seek him. Diligently. So here's that attitude adjustment. This is that thing that we're desiring, that we're diligently praying, but we're praying because we believe that he is, so that we have faith. We have faith not only in God, but we have faith in God through his word, okay? We're reading it. We're studying it. And we want our ears to be open. It shows a humbleness. It shows faith in God and in His Word. And it also shows that you are saved and that you're a child of God. You say, well, what are you talking about? Well, I can tell you this, that it's the Holy Spirit within you that is provoking this work. It is not you and your old man in some kind of reformation. It's a transformation, and we are being led and sometimes even provoked by the Spirit of God in our life to grow into Christ-likeness. That's why He is in us and dwells in us. He is provoking us. He is leading us in this way. And you're saying, I want change. That's the new creature speaking in you. It's not the old man that's speaking. It is that new birth. It is that new creature that is starting there. And the desire is there. So it shows, again, that the Holy Spirit is working within you. And if you go to John 14, 16, and 17... He says this, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? And I will pray to the Father, and He will give you another comforter that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot see because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He will dwell with you and shall be in you. And then He also says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. The Holy Spirit of God is indwelt in us, and He is provoking us and guiding us into Christ's likeness. And so when you desire something like this, this desire isn't coming from the old man, it's coming from the new creature. And so it should give you assurance of your salvation, because the old man doesn't want to become more like Christ. This is the new creature working in you. So when you say to that, I want to change, I want to become more like Christ, you are actually helping, or that's a poor word. You are actually verifying the Spirit is dwelling within you. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I've heard that verse explained a little bit, that's a continual process, but that's not what it's speaking of in this case. It is a process. We are being transformed into Christ's likeness. But here, it's a very clear distinction that the old man was in charge, and when you got saved, there was a change that came into your life. And from that point, everything is viewed, and we need to view it in the new man, and all things are become new. How you live your life, what is important, it is all become new, and I'm thankful for it. And so the Holy Spirit, it says, it verifies that the Holy Spirit is in you. But then there's this other step that is here, and it's where I think that we stumble at so much. We might hear it. Now, how many of you ever read something in the Scripture, and you know you read it, and then you heard it preached, and so you've read it and you've heard it. Most of you followed in the verses, and you know the vibration came through your ears. With me, it's hearing aids, but anyways, it goes into there, and it goes into the eardrums and the stirrup and the anvil and all these little tiny parts move, and it sends a code to your brain. The brain doesn't receive hello. It receives this coded message that your brain interprets to be hello, but it's this language that is spoken, right? And it goes through there, and you're reading it, and you got there, and then you know it should happen, and then nothing happens. Never happened to you? Wow, it happens to me a lot. Nothing happens. So what was the missing factor? Desire. I heard it. It made sense to me. The desire wasn't there. Now, sometimes when the preacher is speaking and stuff, it might not be where the Lord wants to take you at that moment. Maybe that's step M and you're at step C, right? You know, there's difference in maturity levels, right? And you need to understand that. But a lot of times we know it should be the step that we're supposed to take, and we don't take it. And what that step shows is trust. It shows trust. Humbleness, faith, Holy Spirit within you. But to go and do it shows trust. Proverbs 30, verse 5. I'm in Proverbs. There it is. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their, what? Trust in him. That put their trust in him. In 1 Samuel 15, 22, and Samuel said, hath the Lord God as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as to the obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken more than the fat of lambs. And by that, I'm just trying to say this. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ is, and in the word of God, is when you put it into action. If you say you have desire, and then you have a humbleness and you have faith to believe it and the Holy Spirit, and everybody said they stopped there. If it's not put into an obedience action, you are not demonstrating the trust in the Lord. You're hearing it, you're saying it's a good deal, but you're not trusting what it says, because what does trusting the Word of God in the new man require of you? Change. Change. And that's the stumbling point with many people. They know it, they hear it, they believe the word of God, but if it's not taken to the obedience side, they are not showing trust in the word of God that they would actually go and do it. And that's what's required, that trust him, that will do. See, people trusted the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't you trust the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work to be saved? And what did it cause you to do? You called upon his name. You believed in him. There was actually this interaction that happened there. And he did that. And then when you went a little bit further in it, let's say if you were a heavy drinker and it says to stop drinking, but then you stopped drinking, you trusted, even though you didn't see the right end of it, you trusted in his word no matter what the consequences. You put it into application. So then we get out here and we get dressed up a little bit and we clean up our act a little bit, and we don't understand that our walk with the Lord is still a walk of trusting him and his word and putting it into action. If you love me, what does it say? Keep my commandments, and my commandments are not grievous. If you wanted to know that in the New Testament, there's 51 commandments. And in the avenue of prayer, there's actually 24 specific commandments on the prayer. And so it goes here, it's commands that are in the scripture. And so when we do this and we get it to a certain point, we don't understand, we lose that connection that now it's obedience and trust needs to be there. Are you satisfied with where you are? Maybe the next step for some is that the Lord is going to move you to here, to do this, to do that. I don't know, but it requires change in our everyday walk with the Lord. It's change. We are becoming transformed from the old man into the new man with the new birth, right? Not transformed, reformation. The old man is still corrupt and deceitful and lust. It's always going to be. But we are being transformed, and that takes steps of faith, which then require obedience because we trust his word. So are you satisfied with where you're at? Or are you going to cry out for the Lord to waken up your ears, to wakeneth your ears? It's your choice. You can have the education, you can have all the knowledge and everything, but how to apply that is what God is after. Just not knowledge. What does knowledge do? You all know the answer to that. What does knowledge do? Puffeth up. But it's the application of that knowledge that we're growing into. How to apply it to a lost dying, how to praise God, how to love him, how to worship, how to glorify him. And I find that in my life now is these things are supposed to be done unto the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only reason for that is because he's worthy of it. And that's all that's needed. And so we trust in him. Will you trust him to take another step and change? It could be a simple one or it could be a large one. But will you trust him? Will you pray that God will waken up your ears, that you could hear what he's trying to speak to you, so that you can say that you're trusting in what the word of God and what God would have you to do and how he would have you to be transformed? I wrote down trust, parentheses, obedience, is the proof of the intents of the heart. And the word of God reveals that in Hebrews 4:12. And it tells us that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Trust shows our intent. All the rest doesn't lead to transformation. It is the steps to obedience. A humbleness of heart, faith in his word, God can, the Holy Spirit within you to empower you, and trust in his word that we now apply what the word of God says. Heavenly Father, you know the hearts of everyone here. And I pray, Lord, that you would work in our heart, work in mine, Lord, work in mine. I pray, Father, that we wouldn't be satisfied with where we are, but Lord, teach us. Teach us your word. Teach us your ways. Lord, we need to be transformed. So do a work in our lives, Lord, during this invitation time. And as we stand to sing, I pray, Father, that if there's something between us that we need to confess or acknowledge, I pray, dear Lord, that you would work in our hearts and we would confess it, forsake it, and praise your name for it. So do a work in the hearts this morning, for it's in Christ's name I pray it. Amen.